It is time for Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Cargill, providing food, agriculture, financial, and industrial products and services to the world. Cargill, helping the world thrive.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to visit with the Minnesota chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America, get an update on four military retirees, and talk with the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Did you know that the National Guard has a biathlon program? And not only is the national program competitive, we have some of the best athletes in the sport right here in Minnesota. The mission of the National Guard biathlon program is twofold. The program develops the highest levels of skiing and rifle marksmanship necessary to improve the combat ability of our individual soldiers. Additionally, the biathlon programs allow soldiers to represent the National Guard and the United States Armed Services in national and international competitions. As you may recall from the activities we do within our Norwegian exchange program, the Minnesota National Guard is quite fond of cross-country skiing. In fact, we have made substantial investment in the sport at Camp Ripley. Several years ago, a beautiful biathlon course was constructed. It has been consistently maintained and put to use by our state's athletes in biathlon competitions. You may guess that the biathlon program provides units with soldiers who are physically fit, world-class marksmen, and have the ability to train others in these critical combat skills. One of the important things we see out of this program and our participation in it is that this platform allows soldiers to display their dedication, talent, and achievements. The Minnesota National Guard is proud of our biathlon team and our biathlon course. We are committed to sustaining and optimizing this course at Camp Ripley and all of our facilities in the communities in which we serve.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The Paralyzed Veterans of America is a national organization dedicated to serving former members of the United States Armed Services who have suffered catastrophic paralysis as a result of spinal cord injury or disease. The Minnesota chapter of Paralyzed Veterans of America was granted chapter status in 1993. Their office is located within the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, out by the airport in Minneapolis, and their current membership is over 300. And joining us today, we have the president of the Minneapolis chapter of Paralyzed Veterans of America, Ken Klein, and the vice president, Tom Kemmery. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Todd, good to have you here again. We talked to you up at Federal Premium Ammunition a few months ago, but we're going to start with the president today because he's got a bigger title than you.
Naturally, then. That's the way it should be.
Ken, I understand you were in the United States Navy.
Yeah, I was in the Navy right out of high school. I joined the Navy. I had a low draft number, and I figured I didn't want to go in the Army, so I went home to talk to my folks and said I'm going to join the Navy. So from 1967, I enlisted, went to San Diego for boot camp, on into radio school and advanced radio school after that. I was lucky enough to get stationed in Vietnam, down in the Delta, and I spent there from 68 to 69, came back, and had my choice of where I wanted to go. I wasn't familiar with the East Coast, so I said I wanted to go there. So they put me down in Norfolk, and I spent my last 2 years there, and I can honestly say for 4 years in the Navy, was never on a ship.
Don't know how you got that done, Ken. But as long as you're talking about the Navy usually hauls around this outfit called the Marines.
That we did.
And Todd was in the Marines, right, Todd?
That is correct. Thank you. 1978, that's when I graduated high school. And I at that time, they had something called the Delayed Entry Program. So I had signed up in December of 78, but I didn't have to go to boot camp until August. I'm a Paris Island recruit, and my further training was in as an aircraft mechanic, and my first schooling on that was in Memphis, or more specifically Millington, Tennessee. From there I went west, and when I got to El Toro, they sent me down to Camp Pendleton for helicopter training. And from there, after my training was up with in Camp Pendleton, I was eventually stationed in the fleet, as they called it, at Tustin, which is a base, a helicopter base, very close to El Toro, which is both of those were in Orange County, California. Since then, the downsizing of our forces, both of those bases are non-existent. For 4 years, I was in California, except for the 1 year that I was stationed over in Okinawa, Japan. And that was pretty much my my history as far as my work history with the Marine Corps.
And, Todd, the last day you were in the service, you had a terrible accident, didn't you?
Pretty much. I'm a spinal cord injured, and I'm wheelchair bound. And the cause of all of that was out in California, had roughly 10 days left on my enlistment. And that last 10 days is where the Marine Corps would send their people when they were planning on exiting the Marines, sort of a classroom environment where you learned how to become a civilian again. Well, I had checked out of my squadron, and the very next day I was to be showed up at 8 o'clock over at El Toro for my separation classes. But instead, I went and down to the ocean, and I broke my neck
on the last day in the service, which was a terrible accident. But the VA's taken pretty good care of you ever since.
Pretty much, and that's how I put it. I say I'm very fortunate, and people kind of look at me when I first say that. But the meaning on all that is that the Marine Corps and the Veterans Administration have taken very good care of me.
We're speaking with Ken Klein and Todd Kemmery from the Minnesota chapter of Paralyzed Veterans of America on Minnesota Military Radio. And Ken, I want to talk to you about membership in Paralyzed Veterans of America. It can be people that either have a service-connected disability or not, correct?
That's correct. As long as you have a spinal cord injury, either through a catastrophic injury, car accident, Todd's case, my case, or the disease, which is being ALS or MS, which affects their spinal cord and stuff. So if that happens, then they can become members of the PVA, Paralyzed Veterans of America.
And in your case, you arrived in that chair via an aircraft accident.
That's correct. Yes, happened 1 week after the 9/11 incident.
And because you were also on the ground in Vietnam, you had a little run-in with Agent Orange.
And that's why I'm service-connected, is because of the Agent Orange issue. Boots on the ground in Vietnam.
Okay, let's talk about the Minnesota chapter of Paralyzed Veterans of America. Ken, who's eligible to be a member one more time, and what is your mission?
Well, to be eligible again, you have to have a spinal cord injury, either by an accident or by a disease, ALS or MS. And basically our mission is that we advocate for our members to make sure that they get the benefits that they so rightly deserve. And one of the main things that we try to do for our members is to get them, basically the word we use is off the couch, get them off the couch, out of the house, get them into the community to see that they can live a fulfilled life.
And one of the ways you do that is to occasionally get them up to Camp Ripley for some outdoor activities.
Wonderful Camp Ripley. We go up there for the turkey hunt, for the fishing event, and the deer hunt. And Camp Ripley encourages us to get as many members up there as we possibly can, and they really take care of us.
And Todd, I understand that your offices are out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
Yes. We also have a smaller office space that's over at the Veterans Building, and that's primarily for our advocacy and legislative efforts that we do here locally and also nationally. So,
must be pretty convenient being at the medical center if your members are coming through there for some kind of an appointment. They can just come on in and say hello.
Absolutely. Before I took on the responsibility of being vice president, I first started as a sports director. And right across the hallway is PT. So I would have a chance to notice when the new veterans were showing up for their rehab. And given a little bit of time, I would eventually wander over there to PT and introduce myself and see if I couldn't get them interested in going beyond just sitting at home.
So, Ken, he was out there recruiting new members.
Well, that's one of our duties. We're looking for new members all the time. But one thing, the beauty of having our office in the VA system is we see our members coming through for their annuals or for their normal checkups and stuff like that. And they can come in and they can talk to us. And that's a real benefit having it on site.
So it's real convenient for most of your members. They're going to be out there anyway. And
yeah.
So stop in and check in with us and see what we can do to help.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, we're just about out of time for this segment. When we come back, I want to dig in a little bit and look at this big list of things that the Paralyzed Veterans of America do each year. And we're talking with Ken Klein and Tom Kemmery from the Minnesota chapter of Paralyzed Veterans of America on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting with the Minnesota chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. Specifically, we've been talking to Ken Klein, the president, and to Todd Kemmery, who's the vice president out there. And Ken, I want to get to you. Can you explain to us what are the core mission-serving programs and services that you provide?
The Paralyzed Veterans of America, we're mandated by our national office in Washington, D.C., for 8 various programs that we live and die with. And I'll go through them briefly. One of them is our medical services. We have nurses on staff, doctors on staff, to ensure that the directives and the mandates that come down from the VA are withheld. And we work very closely with them at our spinal cord injury centers to ensure that our veterans get the care that they deserve. We also talk about veteran benefits that there's so many veterans out there that don't know what's available to them. And we have national service officers that work with these veterans to make sure that they get the benefits that they're entitled to. Vocational rehabilitation. What we also do is veterans that come back from the war, we work with them on trying to get them a job. We have people that work with various companies around the Minnesota area, and that's been very helpful to our veterans. Architecture is kind of an interesting one. We have licensed architects on staff, and they go to the spinal cord injury centers to make sure that everything is up to speed for our veterans and stuff. And they work very closely with new buildings. They work with the local contractors to make sure that the accessibility is all taken care of. Everything is up to speed. Research and education. We donate to a research and education foundation for the cure of spinal cord injury. And we do that on an annual basis. Our sports and recreation is a huge part of our programs. Like the old saying is, get people off the couch, get them out of the house, show them even though you're in a wheelchair, you can still get out and be an active member in the community. We offer various programs. We have season tickets to the Minnesota Twins, the Minnesota Wild, the Minnesota Vikings. Our members are encouraged to take advantage of those sporting events. We have weekly bowling, weekly archery, trap shooting, and probably the biggest thing is that we get as many members as we possibly can to attend the National Veterans Wheelchair Games every year. That's held throughout the United States. Every year it's at a different location.
Ken, I'm sure you worked with all of those sporting teams to make sure that those sporting events are accessible to your members.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every one of them has to be accessible. You know, there's some places that you just can't get into, and we find the right locations for them so they can participate in those events.
Very good. And then you've got an advocacy program.
And the advocacy program, I'm going to turn that over to Todd because he is our advocacy director for the chapter, and he's very good at what he does.
Thank you, Ken. We've become very active recently in the past 4 or 5 years here in Minnesota as far as ADA. And part of that is as an ADA coordinator, I've been involved with the stadium committees on the disability aspect of it for ever since the Twins first started their baseball field. So we've been part of the Twins, the Vikings stadium. Currently we're now in the middle of the Timberwolves, home of the Timberwolves remodeling, and also we're We're also involved with advocacy with the new soccer stadium that'll be within the next couple of years be built in Minneapolis. So we're very active when it comes to for some of that accessibility issues.
We're speaking with Ken Klein and Todd Kemmery from the Minnesota chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America on Minnesota Military Radio. Ken, I want to come back to you. I understand that the Paralyzed Veterans is the only veteran service organization that routinely audits VA hospitals.
That's partially correct. Well, we do, but we only audit the spinal cord injury and disease portion of the VA hospital, which is a totally different segment because they specialize in spinal cord injury veterans. And we do go around to there's 24 spinal cord injury centers throughout the United States, and annually each one of these sites is visited by a team of nurses, doctors, and architects, along with a member of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. And that's about a 2 or 3 day process that we interview all of the disciplines, from the doctors down to the nurses, the PT, OT, physical therapists, occupational therapists, recreational therapists, psychologists. I think there's about 12 different disciplines that they interview just to make sure that they're taking care of the veterans the way the VA has mandated them to be. And then we go up to the SCI chief and the hospital chief and give them our results.
So your office is out at the Minneapolis Medical Center, and you're doing this audit and helping make sure that they're providing the treatment and everything that's necessary for your members and other paralyzed. How are we doing at the Minneapolis Medical Center? My reports are great out there.
I'm really glad you asked that. You know, there's a lot of negativity about the VA system today. And if you go visit our VA hospital in Minneapolis, it's probably one of the best ones around. The care that you receive out there is top-notch. I've got no complaints whatsoever regarding that facility.
Gentlemen, we just got a few minutes left, but Ken, as the president of the Minnesota chapter of Paralyzed Veterans of America, you also serve on the Commander's Task Force with the other veteran service organizations such as the American Legion, DAV, VFW. There's 9 of them, and the Paralyzed Veterans are relatively new to that, but you serve out there and sit on that board so that you can combine your membership, 300 here in Minnesota and 21,000 across 50 states, with the membership of all those other veteran service organizations and go up to the Capitol and talk to our legislators about what's needed to help your membership.
And again, since Todd is our advocacy director for the chapter and stuff, he sits in along with another gentleman that's on the legislative director of our chapter. They sit in on the CTF meetings, and I'll turn it over to Todd.
Thank you, Ken. Jim DeLean is our legislative director. I'm the advocacy director. Part of our responsibility as a team is to make sure that we're also our voice is added to the other 8 Commander Task Force organizations. So we were congressionally chartered along with those other 8, and that's what that is what distinguishes us from here in the state of Minnesota. So we approach our representatives on different veterans issues, and we. This will be our very first year as a Commander's Task Force, and we're finding ourselves to be very busy along the legislative aspect.
I would guess you're enjoying being represented on that task force.
Absolutely. Nationally, I've been doing it for close to 9 years, and now that we're doing it here locally in Minnesota, it's a joy and a wonder to be able to help my fellow veterans.
Thanks, Todd. Ken, we got about a minute left for all of those listeners out there. If you know somebody with a spinal cord injury, whether it was service-related or not, why would they want to join your organization?
Well, the main reason is that we're there to help them receive their benefits. We're help them to get out into the community. We have a lot of things to offer them. If they're looking for a job, we've got the right people that can find them a job. If they're looking for what their benefits are, we have the people that can direct them the right way. Recreation, if you're interested in any type of a recreation, we'll help you with that. We've got a lot there to offer. So it's a great organization.
No dues or membership fees?
Absolutely no dues, no membership fees. All you have to do is have a spinal cord injury. You can contact us at the VA hospital. You could look us up at mnpva.org, and all the information is right there.
And an opportunity for our veterans to talk to some other paralyzed veterans and find resources and figure out how to do things and figure out how to get outside and get moving again, right?
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure having you in the studio today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Ken Klein and Todd Kemmery from the Minnesota chapter of Paralyzed Veterans of America. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to give you an update for military retirees and how to find the retirement benefits that you have earned if you've served 20 years in the service. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn all about military reserve component retire pay and how to apply for it. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
President's Day, also known as Washington's Birthday, is a United States federal holiday that is celebrated each year. We celebrate in honor of President George Washington, our country's first president. Washington was also Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War. General George Washington was a compassionate military leader whose courage and determination inspired his troops. His refusal to give up or quit made the difference between victory and defeat on more than one occasion. General Washington was devoted to the well-being of his troops. As with Memorial Day and Veterans Day, President's Day allows us another opportunity to honor our country's veterans. On President's Day, we pay tribute to the brave and audacious Commander-in-Chief, George Washington, and celebrate all U.S. presidents, past and present.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. In this section, we're going to talk to a retirement service officer from the Minnesota Army National Guard, and joining us now is Sergeant First Class Suzanne Swanson. Suzanne, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Can you tell us, share with our listeners, how long have you been in the military?
Tom, I actually joined the military in 1995, the Minnesota Army National Guard, in 1995, in Stillwater, Minnesota, and it was an infantry unit. And I joined because I wanted to see if I could make it through basic training. Well, I graduated from basic training, and then I decided that I wanted to go into the retirement field and the medical field. So I joined units with the Minnesota National Guard and spent 8 years in the retirement services and focusing on, at the time, medical case management. And now I have been, I am still in the National Guard, and I'm active duty. I've been active duty for the last 20 years, and I've been in the National Guard for the last 22 years.
So for all of that time, you've been working in retirement services?
I have.
That's amazing. Yeah. Once that's like a warrant officer or something. You get to stay there and take care of that one job.
Yep. I found my passion, and I've just stuck with it, both with active duty and National Guard soldiers.
Okay, so you're in human resources for service members, and part of that's retirement services. So what do you do? Who do you take care of? How do they find out you're there? And you know, what do you do? Where's your office?
Yeah. Well, so that's why I'm here today. I'm really excited to talk to the National Guard Reserve retirements and the retirement community in regards to their retirement pay. Because what I've noticed is there's a lot of National Guard retirees out there that are turning age 60 and they don't know how to apply for retired pay. So I wanted to talk to everybody if they're having a struggle or they don't know who to talk to in the Minnesota Army National Guard or the Adjutant General's office, that they can come to our retirement services section and we can assist them with their retired pay.
Now, Suzanne, we've had hundreds of guests on the show over the last 6 years, and a lot of them were active duty for a few years, and then when their active duty term was up, then they got out and joined the Guard or joined the Reserve, stayed there for 20 years, and at some point they are eligible for retirement benefits. Does it all start at age 60, or can it start earlier?
The reserve retirement. So if you're part of a reserve component, the Army National Guard, and you complete 20 years of credible service for retired pay in the National Guard, you can't collect your retired pay until you're age 60. And that's where I come in as a reserve component retirement service officer. I focus on them. We also have a retirement service officer that takes care of the active duty, active component. If you are an active duty AGR or you're a retired with a active duty retirement, we do have assistance that we can offer you to help you collect that pay also.
So in your case, you said you've been full-time for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to retire, it's a little different than someone that was just a weekend soldier for 20 years.
Correct, because I would actually collect immediately on my active duty pay. But what's happening, what I've noticed, is there's a lot of National Guard retirees that retired 10 years ago, and now they're turning 60, and they don't know who to talk to. They don't know who the Minnesota personnel office is or who the retirement service person can help them actually get paid and their TRICARE benefits.
Now, when you retire from, say, 20 or 25 years in the Minnesota Army National Guard, when you're out processing, do they give you information about when you're entitled to the retirement pay? Do they tell you what the process is? Do they tell you you have to apply for it?
So they never did before. I came about 5 years ago. I decided that I found out that nobody really got any information back in the day when they retired. Now they're approaching 60. But so what I give them their packet. I tell them all the stuff that they need to know. But I need to reach out further to other folks to let them know that I can give their packets to them right away. Keep it in a safe place so they can wait, you know, until they're 60.
Or if they lost it, come back and get it again.
Exactly.
So is it possible that there's people who have retired over the last decade or two that thought that it was an automatic process, that when they turned 60, they'd get a check?
I'm sure there is, Tom. I have noticed at least a dozen folks and retirees in the past 6 months that have been in that situation, that they thought it was automatic, or they thought that they were going to get an application sent out in the mail to tell them what to do and explain to them the process of retired pay. And as of 2 years ago, they don't send applications in the mail, and it's not automatic that they'll get paid. There is a process that is now the retiree's responsibility to come to the military personnel office and get assistance in applying for retired pay, fill out the forms that they need to get their TRICARE benefits. Well, what do you do if you don't know where the military personnel office is, and who in the state of Minnesota do you contact if you're our prior service National Guard, Minnesota National Guard retiree?
We're speaking with Sergeant First Class Suzanne Swanson on Minnesota Military Radio, and the topic today is military reserve component retirement pay process. Now, Sergeant Swanson, if there's people out there that have been retired and they turned 60 and they haven't put in that application, if they go to the Minnesota National Guard website and look for retirement services section, they can find your contact information. Or if you have a pen handy, you could call 651-282-4510. Now, if they've turned 60 and maybe that's past, they're 62 or 63, can they file for it late and still get their retirement effective at age 60?
Absolutely, Tom. The Defense and Finance and Accounting Service will go back 6 years for back pay. So, but it doesn't matter how old you are. If you have 20 years of qualifying service and you are qualified for a reserve component retirement, that is your benefit forever. So come and apply at any age. Just know that we have a 6 year statutory obligation to only go back 6 years, but we will process your pay and get your TRICARE benefits. That's a pretty big benefit that we do offer reserve component soldiers also.
So even if they're 70 years old and they didn't apply for this, they haven't gotten checks, and if they were in the Army National Guard or even in the Air National Guard, mm-hmm. if they go to the Minnesota National Guard website, go to Retirement Services section, you can help them with the application form, help them fill it out, get it processed. And if they are 70, they'll still get 6 years back pay. They might have missed a few years in there, but they'll still get that, and they'll get it going forward for as long as they live.
Absolutely. And so I focus on the Minnesota Army National Guard and Army Reserve components. However, I absolutely can connect any reserve component soldier in any other service to the right contact. I can help you with your paperwork. I can make sure you get that process, because at the end of the day, the most important thing is to get your money and your retirement benefits.
Okay, now you've mentioned TRICARE a couple of times. They're applying for their retirement benefits. And at that time, do they also get some type of health benefit through TRICARE? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, and that is the exciting part. Once you're turning age 60 and you're eligible to receive your reserve component retired pay, that qualifies you for TRICARE standard, which is a subset of TRICARE. So it's a premium-free, $300 family deductible, 80-20 insurance.
So could that be, if they're 65 or 66, could that be a supplement to Medicare, or don't you even need Medicare?
You do. So now when you're 65, you also have the option to automatically enroll in TRICARE for life. So that's another TRICARE benefit that we have. You have to purchase Medicare Part B to qualify for TRICARE, but you do have a TRICARE benefit up until the day you're no longer here.
So it serves as something of a supplement that you'd have to the Medicare then in
correct.
Addition.
Okay. Correct.
Another option for our retired, those that are entitled to retirement benefits from a reserve component.
Yes.
Okay, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Sergeant First Class Suzanne Swanson, who is a retirement service officer for the Minnesota Army National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Sergeant First Class Suzanne Swanson, who's a retirement service officer for the Minnesota Army National Guard. And to find out information about this topic, which is applying for your retirement pay, go to the Minnesota National Guard website, look up Retirement Services section. Now, Suzanne, we just got a few minutes left here. So if who's eligible for retirement pay from, let's say, the Army National Guard, how many years do they have to have served?
If you are a former member of the Minnesota Army National Guard with at least 20 years of credible service to qualify you for retired pay at age 60, you are eligible to apply within a year prior to turning age 60.
Okay, and then these days, nobody's going to send you anything. They're not going to remind you. So if you do think you're eligible, then they should call you at 651-282-4510. Ask for the packet, and you can help them process the application for their retirement benefits.
Absolutely. If you have over 20 years of credible service for retired pay and you don't know what to do and you haven't received any money and you're age 60 or older, please give us a call right away and we will help you.
So you've got all the forms, you can help them apply for it. And if they're past age 60, you can pay back pay for up to 6 years?
Correct.
And so they won't lose that, but if they're 70, they might lose a few years. They'll get 6 years back pay. They'll get the retirement pay going forward. And if they're eligible for this retirement pay, they're eligible for TRICARE.
Correct.
Can you tell us about that one more time?
They'll have they're eligible for TRICARE Standard, which is a premium-free 20% cost-share copay insurance at age 60. And then at age 65, they'll be eligible for TRICARE for life as long as they purchase Medicare Part B. That's a premium-free TRICARE insurance with no cost share or copay for the rest of their life.
Okay, now we've got a big surprise for anyone that may not have paid attention to the legislative session last year, because the state legislature passed a law that says your military retirement pay is no longer subject to taxes in Minnesota.
Correct. Yeah, that's pretty exciting. Absolutely. The whole year of 2016 and in the future, any Minnesota retirement is not subject to Minnesota tax. They're still subject to federal tax, but Minnesota no longer taxes retired pay for service members.
So if our military retired from active duty and moved home to Minnesota and they live here, that retirement pay they get will not be subject to state taxes. And if you were in the Minnesota Army or Air National Guard for 20 years, eligible to get their military retirement pay when they start paying that. Starting this year, it's no longer subject to state taxes either.
Yes, exactly.
That's like getting a bonus, isn't it?
I know, it's pretty awesome.
You've been in the military for a long time, and you've been working on all kinds of human resources issues, but at least the last 8 years, you've been the retirement service officer for the Minnesota Army National Guard. So if anybody has any questions about eligibility, how to apply, TRICARE, you're the one for them to call.
Yes, I am.
And once again, you can call Sergeant First Class Swanson at 651-282-4510. Or if you go to the Minnesota National Guard website and you look up Retirement Services section, you can find contact information. And Suzanne, we've got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners about retirement pay for our reserve component?
Tom, this is the best benefit to offer soldiers. And I just want to get out there and make sure that everybody knows that if you are approaching age 60, about 58 or 59 years old, and you're looking for your National Guard retirement pay, please call us. We can help you.
All right. And we've got listeners all over Minnesota. So if you think you're eligible for retirement pay for a reserve component, once again, go to the Minnesota National Guard website, look up retirement services section, and you can get a hold of Sergeant First Class Suzanne Swanson. Suzanne, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
This is Sergeant First Class Suzanne Swanson from the Retirement Services Officer for the Minnesota Army National Guard. Joining me now is the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Patrick Kelly. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thanks so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Sir, we've been talking about the VA Medical Center today. I had a couple of representatives from the Minnesota chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America on the show, and they said they maintain an office out there and that the Minneapolis VA Medical Center does a marvelous job for all of those folks with spinal injuries.
Well, the PVA is a great is a great colleague and a great partner of ours in our spinal cord injury center and with other veterans. So Todd and Ken and the whole group is it's really helpful to have them here with us because they can sort of see those services firsthand and make sure that our veterans are getting what they need. So it's a great partnership.
Sir, when you've been on before, we've talked about the fact that you usually have openings for doctors and nurses and other folks out at the Minneapolis VA. And with the new administration, I understand there's a hiring freeze on. Has that affected your ability to hire nurses?
Not nurses, Tom. Shortly after the hiring freeze was issued, the VA acting secretary came out with several positions and series that were waived to include almost all positions that have any direct patient care responsibilities. So, that included probably 80% of our positions over here in the medical center. So, I'm not worried about those sort of direct care positions, nurses, doctors, support staff, physical therapists, but the potential impact for us would be all of those other areas where they provide support to the medical center. So thinking about things like our HR specialists or maybe our finance people, all of whom are important staff to run a medical center that were not included as part of the waiver. So potential impact there, but really the good news is that most of those that would provide direct services to our veterans, those positions have been waived. And so I really anticipate minimal effect.
So, Director, we're now heard on 38 stations all over Minnesota. If there's some doctors and nurses and professionals out there looking for a good position, you're still looking for some good people.
We are absolutely looking for good people, so especially in some of our remote or rural areas, but also in the Twin Cities. And so, we have about 1,000 nurses and a bunch of doctors, and so if we have any of your listeners are interested in working for a great employer, we would love to have them come and work for us.
Director, since we've been talking the last few years on the radio, I think it was about St. Patrick's Day a couple of years ago, you opened up that new parking ramp. Are you in the process of building that canopy connector?
That is exactly what we're doing. So if, for those of the veterans who listeners who've been down to the medical center this week, one of the things that you will see is that we have started going above ground with that construction. And so that canopy is intended to provide, a comfortable coverage for veterans going from the parking ramp to any of our three entrances, the emergency entrance, outpatient entrance, or the main entrance. And, they've started going above ground this week. They had the big crane in here, and so remarkable progress in 1 week, but that is one of our many projects with the purpose of improving the veterans' experience when they come here for their health care. And so it's pretty cool. It's going to be open in the spring or fully completed, sort of later spring. But it's good to see things going above the ground. They've been working on it for a long time.
Director, it's a good thing you've got a hard hat in your office. You've been building stuff ever since I met you.
We have one thing, one project after another.
Director, I know that the VA Medical Center is involved with the homeless program, and it's my understanding that Major General Neil Leuthold took over as president of MACV.
Yeah.
And that's got to be an exciting development for you.
It is. He's a very well respected, and as is the organization MACV. They have a work center here on our campus at the medical center, as well as others throughout the state, but. I have tremendous respect for the MACV and the work that they do, and we are great partners with the MACV. We have worked hard to identify and register homeless veterans, along with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And as we've talked about before on this whole homeless issue, it takes a lot of people to get this right and to identify the veterans, get them home, get them supported. And so, yeah, I was really pleased to see the general get that position, because he's a great leader, and MACV's a great organization.
Sir, we've just got a little less than a minute left. I think you've got a couple of events coming up.
Yep, thanks, Tom. So February 14th, Valentine's Day, we always have a salute to our hospitalized veterans. So that's going to happen in the afternoon of February 14th. And what happens is we get in a number of service organizations, VIPs, congressional staff, beauty queens, and they come in here and we get gifts, and they take them around and they visit with our veterans who are inpatients. So that's February 14th, annual event, always very successful. We also have a Creative Arts Fair, which we have, again, that's an annual event for us here. It's work by veterans, you know, painting, sculptures, photography, music, and that's going to happen next week, February 15th through 17th, on the second floor of the Flag Atrium. And so anybody's welcome to come and see that. You'd be amazed at the talent of our veterans in all of these areas. And then finally, and I appreciate you giving me the time, Tom, March 29th, we're having our next town hall meeting at the VFW in North St. Paul, 6:30 to 8. So a few things going on. I hope we have good attendance at all of those events.
Director, I always enjoy getting your updates, and I want to thank you for joining us again today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks very much, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. We have one mention today. Happy birthday to a great American, Ken MacArthur, who turns 100 years old on February 12th. Ken appeared on our show on May 28th, 2015, to describe his experiences as a lieutenant in the United States Navy transporting troops to Omaha Beach during the Normandy invasion. Ken, thank you for your service, and enjoy a monumental day. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Todd Kemmery, Ken Klein, Sergeant First Class Suzanne Swanson, Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week from Trondheim, Normandy, in support of the Norwegian Reciprocal Troop Exchange. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.